Starcom Network News presents Year in Review 2019. This is the month of November. Friday, November 1st, it was confirmed that the Transport Authority had reversed a decision to cancel the permits of two public service vehicle operators and suspend a dozen others. The president of the Association of Public Transport Operators, Kenny Bass, said the withdrawal of the cancellation letters followed submissions made during a meeting with the authority.
So the latest is that it was discussing with the Transport Authority from APTO in relation to the suspensions, and we all went through the Transport Authority Act and regulations to see the legality of the suspensions. When you check the legislation, the law provides that if you make a decision, that decision must be communicated to the person within 60 days, and it was discovered that some of the decisions that were made were communicated outside of the 60 days.
Tuesday, November 5th, the Barbados government pressed ahead with plans to legalize medical marijuana, with Prime Minister Mosley promising that ordinary Barbadians would have a stake in the industry. She was speaking as Parliament debated a resolution to note the report of the Special Parliamentary Subcommittee on Medicinal Marijuana.
Those who have carried the burden of imprisonment, those who have carried the burden of shame, those who have carried the burden must not simply be looking in from the outside when it comes now to the facilitation of a legal framework that makes sense to the country. They must not be looking in from the outside.
Ms. Morty again promised a national referendum on legalizing marijuana generally, but felt there should be special provision for the Rastafarian community. The Barbados government formally announced its debt swap with international creditors, giving them until the end of the next month to exchange existing bonds for new ones at a lower interest rate. Wednesday, November 6th, in the U.S., Democrats made gains in state elections in what was seen as a blow to President Donald Trump. The results were a gauge of the political mood ahead of the next year's presidential election. Friday, November 8th, a minor was in police custody after the stabbing death of a 16-year-old school boy at the Frederick Smith Secondary School.
I just seen nobody benches out from by the hardcore. So we thought it was like a normal fight. So we see mom running, coming. She went in there, and then we see a teacher. I know what she told the man running past him, but then we see mom running.
I ran stairs.
And then so I see boy being grown. I feel bad.
This afternoon, sometime around 1 p.m., police received information of a stabbing incident here at the Frederick Smith Secondary School. We immediately responded. We were informed and were led to the scene of a 16-year-old juvenile who appeared to have received stab wounds. We were informed that two juveniles were in an altercation and one received stab injuries and subsequently died on the spot.
The president of the Barbados Secondary Teachers Union, Mary Ann Redmond, said it was a wake-up call for those within schools who had been reluctant to face up to the magnitude of the problem.
I really don't know what more we can say that we have not already said in terms of addressing this scourge of violence in our schools. We have spoken for years about this, and there have been recent attempts by the Prime Minister and the Minister of Education in a 10-hour meeting that we had to address the problem, but this has happened, and this incident underscores the need for many of us to stop burying our heads in the sand.
Minister of Education Santia Bradshaw visited the school and said she was deeply saddened by the stabbing death of 16-year-old Tamario Holder of Checker Hall St. Lucy, who died following an altercation with a 15-year-old student at the Frederick Smith Secondary School. She promised additional security measures at schools, but at that stage was not in favor of metal detectors.
I don't think I want to live in a Barbados where schools become institutions where we have metal detectors. I think it sends the wrong message. I think it speaks to a failing on us as a society. And I do think that there are enough people out there in society who have the relevant resources, the relevant skills that can be deployed across the system to be able to help us to address the problems that we're confronting.
But a parent also speaking at the school following the stabbing felt metal detectors were needed.
I believe that the schools nowadays should got some sort of form of metal detectors at the gates, and any student at all that have been found with any knives or weapons should be getting a right here. Something really needs to be done with these children in the schools with the nerves at 10. Something really needs to be done.
Sunday, November 10th, St. Lucie residents were in full cleanup mode following heavy flooding the previous day.
They had over 9 feet of water around a gentleman's home, and it was terrible down here. You have roads impassable. St. Lucie was basically cut off. You can't come in unless you have a 10-wheeler truck.
CIBC announced that they had reached agreement to sell the majority of CIBC's shares in its Caribbean entity, First Caribbean International Bank Limited, to the Cayman Islands-based GNB Financial Group Limited. Friday, November 15th, a male student of the Frederick Smith Secondary School was charged with murder for the stabbing death of a schoolmate the previous Friday on the school compound. The victim, 16-year-old Tamario Holder of Checker Hall, St. Lucie, died at the scene from multiple stab wounds. Barbados and Ghana signed two cooperation agreements as Prime Minister Motley paid an official visit to the African country to strengthen economic links. Sunday, November 17th, the Attorney General Dale Marshall gave notice that the government intended to take possession the next day of the building that housed the liquidation center on Bay Street, St. Michael, and which had been acquired from the Merchandani family. This after the High Court rejected an urgent application by the owners to prevent the acquisition of the building that would make way for the construction of a Hyatt Hotel. Monday, November 18th, there was an island-wide power outage in Barbados. The Light and Power Company blamed bad fuel oil for repeated problems with its power-generating plant after a series of outages that disrupted the water supply and forced the closure that day of all public schools and some agencies, such as the National Cultural Foundation. There was considerable public outcry, as exemplified by the comments on VOB's Getting Down to Brass Tacks call-in program.
Yes. I think it is totally unacceptable that because of a loss of electricity supply for whatever reason, that the whole country has to come to a standstill. Children got to be sent home, working, there is loss. The telephone service is not working because of no electricity. The water not working because of no electricity.
Managing Director of BLMP, Roger Blackman, told journalists during a conference call briefing that afternoon that the company had been working to fix the problem, which occurred around 7:30 a.m. He blamed the outage on the quality of the heavy fuel oil used in the generating units that supplied 70% of the island's electricity needs.
We would have had fuel pump challenges. And we have been having discussions with our fuel supplier in relation to addressing that issue.
Tuesday, November 19th, students at the University of the West Indies Cayfield campus protested as a second successive day of island-wide power outages left schools and businesses without electricity and water. Some business people also voiced their unhappiness with the situation, including the managing director of Abed Stores, Eddie Abed, a former president of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, who described the situation as an absolute mess.
Many of our staff come from several areas in the country which were without water, without electricity, and compounded. They had children that had to return home after 10 o'clock, so they weren't able to come to work. It has been an absolute mess. There is no other way to describe this. It's chaos at an unbelievable level.
Meantime, Prime Minister Motley declaring that the series of island-wide power outages in Barbados was unacceptable, inexplicable, and embarrassing, summoned the chairman of the Canadian-owned Barbados Light and Power Company to a meeting to explain the situation. After the talks with officials of the power company, Ms. Motley told a news conference that a number of immediate actions had been agreed on between the two parties to ensure the electrical outages were resolved in the shortest possible time.
If we have to rent, we are satisfied that we can rent capacity to act as a buffer with out of Florida, with the ships, a dedicated ship being sourced by Emera in order to be able to get generating capacity here. Luckily, they have already started work on a site before, and therefore that will mean that they can move much quicker.
Sunday, November 24th, a St. Philip man was Barbados' latest victim of gun violence and the 43rd homicide for the year. 29-year-old Denzel Scarborough, alias Blue, of Farm Road, was fatally shot around 10 minutes to 12 that night while at Eastbourne in St. Philip. Thursday, November 28th, 39-year-old Ken Yearwood was fatally shot at River Basin, Lucie. Friday, November 29th, Renowned songwriter and the author of the lyrics of Barbados' national anthem, Urgent Burgee, passed away in New York. Saturday, November 30th, the Independence Honors were announced, with some noted musicians being awarded. Barbados' co-highest honor, the New Freedom of Barbados, was bestowed on folk and calypso maestro Anthony Gabby Carter and principal of the Cahill campus of the University of the West Indies, Professor Violet Uding Bartow. Emile Straker of the Merry Men was knighted. The rash of violence that marked the rest of the year continued, with a triple homicide at Walker St. Andrew that morning. And so ended the month of November 2019. Year in review, 2019.